Today, as we bring our winter series to a close, I want to cycle back to the closing sentences of Romans chapter 8 so that I can sound one final note. Actually, in particular, I want to focus in on one last phrase. As we were going through this last week, Romans 8, 31 to 39, I touched on this in passing, but I really do think there's more here, more to unpack, more to sit in. Listen to this phrase, Romans 8, 37. I think we would all be wise to listen, fresh ears, to have fresh eyes to see what the Holy Spirit may be saying to us today. This is what Paul writes. He says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Paul says, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. I don't know about you, but as I think about conquerors and conquering imagery, I have all sorts of Hollywood ideas bouncing around in my mind. How about you? As you think about a conqueror, what comes to mind? Go ahead and pause the video for a second and ask the person in the room next to you, what comes to mind as you think about a conqueror? I'll go ahead and wait. Maybe it's because I'm a guy, but I have all sorts of mental pictures that are tied together with macho masculinity and even some violent triumphalism. You know, a little bit of Braveheart warrior cry going on, yelling for freedom, or Rocky Balboa doing his victory dance, mixed with a dash of Gladiator, and then maybe for whatever reason in my mind, a bit of Genghis Khan. All of which, in some ways, as I think about conquerors, it gets me amped up to fight. It's like when my brother and I, again, I'm a child of the 80s, we grew up watching the Karate Kid movies, and we would put in the VHS tape, and we would watch Karate Kid, the ending scene, the tournament scene, and then we would be done watching the video together, and then we would just go at it and pummel one another. He usually was the one who would win, and he would conquer me, but it just would get us all amped up to want to fight too. And I think about, for some of us, as we read these words and hear Paul talk about, hey, you are more than a conqueror, that we can have those kinds of words stir us to feel the need that we've got to get pumped up and maybe yell or scream or get hyped up to somehow tackle and obliterate all the obstacles that may be coming our way, to take care of all the hindrances that may come before us. When in fact, I'm not so sure that's exactly what Paul had in mind or what Paul was really trying to communicate to us. And frankly, right now, some of you may not even have that much energy to fight, considering all that's been going on, where every day itself feels like a few days strung together. So today, may I offer you a different picture of conquering, maybe a different kind of warrior. Maybe one who is fashioned less than the gladiator in the Roman arena, and a conqueror who is fashioned more like Jesus. What does it mean for us as a community, as a church family, to be more than conquerors? Especially in this season, in the midst of fear, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of a pandemic and social distancing, in the midst of serious health threats, in the midst of this past week, many more businesses shutting down, in the midst of, because of those businesses shutting down, more layoffs. Now there's a stay home, stay healthy order. What does it mean for you to be more than a conqueror where the kids are now at home? And you're trying to get your work done, and the kind of the work-life balance is all thrown out of whack. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror when you go to the store finally and you find that the shelves are at best limited or at worst empty? If you pay attention to the specific words that Paul uses here, I think you'll find a different kind of conquering image. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, why don't you open up your Bible to Romans chapter 8. I want to read to you again the ending of this glorious chapter. We'll start in verse 35. Here's Paul's full thought. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This one little phrase, Romans 8:37, that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In this one little phrase, Paul reveals four dimensions, four pieces to Jesus-style conquering. Paul reveals that we conquer in, we conquer more, we conquer through, and we conquer together. So I want to quickly walk through those four dimensions today. First of all, Paul says, reminds us, encourages us that we conquer in. The beginning of the phrase here, verse 37, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We can't forget in all these things. And then you're like, well, what things, Paul? Well, again, we just read his list, verse 35. He talks about tribulation, right? He talks about distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. If you want to, you can read Paul's personal list. He wrote about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But here he just grabs a few of the highlights that have been true historically for the people of God. Experiencing tribulation, experiencing distress, experiencing persecution, experiencing famine, nakedness, the threat of the sword. And then in verse 36, Paul pulls in this quote from Psalm 44, and the quote really paints a pretty grim scene. Isn't that what the quote says? He says, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now, if you go back and read the fullness of Psalm 44, you find where he's quoting from is a song that really paints a grim picture. And in that psalm, Psalm 44, the psalmist goes on to accuse God of rejecting his people, disgracing his people, and making them in many ways a laughingstock to their enemies. Psalm 44 is a song of disorientation. It begins in verse 1 with the psalmist saying, we've heard the stories. We know you've done this in the past. We've heard it from generations past about your great deeds. But right now, here's where we're at, and it is disorienting. The psalm ends with this visceral cry, Psalm 44, verse 23, for God to wake up. It's like, God, are you sleeping? God, where are you? Would you please rescue and deliver your people? It's this cry, God, don't reject your people forever. So Psalm 44 that Paul quotes from is this song, this ancient song about God's people going through the ringer, God's people going through difficulty, God's people going through trial. Again, he quotes, for your sake, we are killed. He says, we're like sheep going to the slaughterhouse. Now, when I think of conquerors, especially when I think of American-style conquerors, victorious warriors, I don't think about that, right? An American conqueror, to use the image, would overthrow the slaughterhouse, would release all the sheep from the pen into freedom, and would find a way for the whole farm to live happily ever after in complete freedom. Like, that's American-style conquering. No death, we overcome, we throw off all of our enemies, and we win. And maybe it's just me, but I need Romans 8 to remind me that Jesus-style conquering is a conquering in all these things, not a conquering from all these things, or around all these things, or instead of all these things, or in place of all these things. The conquering that Paul is encouraging his people here to experience and to walk in is a conquering in the midst of trial, in the midst of difficulty. This verse reminds us that there is still very real risk for those who choose to walk and follow Jesus. This kind of conquering is not an exemption from tragedy. It's not an exemption from difficulty. It doesn't give us a free pass on pain, but there's an ability for God's people to conquer within, in the midst of all these things. Look at the life of Jesus. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Look at the lives of the saints of old who have gone before us. Listen and learn even in contemporary days from our brothers and sisters around the world. Our conquering takes place in tribulation, in distress, in persecution, in famine, in nakedness, among the sword. It's just that most of us in America, in the West, we've been far removed from the pain points. So as much as we want this current season to stop, and I do hope and pray daily for the end of this, as much as we pray for healing and relief and release from this season, we need to be reminded that our ability to conquer, Jesus-style conquering, is not dependent on those circumstances magically disappearing. It's not as though we will conquer at the end of this. We're invited to conquer today, to experience something different in this moment, in this season, because of the one who lives in us. So it's not around or after, but it's in. It's a conquering in. Second dimension, we conquer more. So the phrase begins, in all these things. Paul continues. He says, we are more than conquerors. And I'll try not to language nerd out on this one too much. But this phrase, we are more than conquerors, five words in our English language. It's actually only one word in the original language. It's a compound word. It's a putting together of the word huper, or our version hyper, and the word nikao, or Nike, victory. And so it's this phrase of a hyper victory, excessive victory. It's a verb. Actually, it's not a noun that we are. It's something that we do, that we get to experience excessive, abundant victory because of what is true for us. It's a really hard phrase to translate. Being more than a conqueror is a great stab at it, but maybe you could say it this way, that we excessively experience the victory of God. Paul has a few other places in the New Testament where he attaches this word, this huper, this hyper word, to other phrases to make it excessive. He talks about God's grace superpassing knowledge. He talks about God's power superpassing greatness. He talks about peace that superpasses the ability to understand. But this time, Paul's talking about the victory, the conquering of the people of God. And he fills it up with this excessive language to say that there's an opportunity for it to overflow in our lives, from our lives. He's talking here about not just having a life that white knuckles it, or barely holds on, or just kind of squeaks under the wire. This victory, this conquering, this offer from God is lavish, it is extravagant, and it is excessive. It undercuts a scarcity mindset. You know, the scarcity mindset where we fear that there's not enough to go around. And so we end up holding on to it, or we end up hoarding it. That's not the picture at all. There's this victory that seems to overflow in our lives because of what God has done for us, where there's plenty. So we conquer in, we conquer more. And it leads to this third part of the phrase, the third dimension, which I think is probably the most important part of this verse. And that's we conquer through. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Friends, this is where the conquering gets real. And really, this is where the conquering takes a totally different shape and a totally different form. It's extremely counterintuitive. What Paul is describing here is not a conquering that comes from us just mustering up our own strength or our own willpower. This is not a call for us just to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and somehow climb the mountain and ascend to victory. This is not a call to use sheer manpower or woman power to rise above it all and win the day. This is not just Rocky Balboa knocking out the enemy in the final round. Actually, rather than the ascent, the picture here is a descent. It's a descent into the unmatched love of God for you. See, the key to any conquering that you're going to do in your life is the love of God for you. The unmatched, the unbridled, the unconditional love of God poured out for you is the foundation and the basis of any conquering, any victory that you will walk in today, in this season, and beyond. It's not that you're going to finally today or this week master all of your conditions, put it all in order, but rather you're going to be mastered by his love. Our conquering happens best when we come to terms with the invitation for us to be conquered by the one who made us and loves us and redeemed us and offered himself for us in full. This, my friends, is not a call only to rise up, but it's a call to go deep. It's not a call to overcome based on your own merit. It's a call to surrender to love, to surrender to the one who loves you perfectly, to name the place where you have failed. And frankly, those places are many. To own the fact that we're sinners, to accept the fact that in that place of our brokenness, of our sin, of our selfishness, of our attempt to control our lives and to do it on our own, in that very place, God says, I love you still. We are deeply and perfectly loved. That's our hope. This is our life. This is what it means to have Jesus-style conquering, not that you have figured it out yourself, but rather to be utterly convinced that the biggest, greatest, most powerful truth in the universe is the idea that Almighty God would look down upon you in compassionate love, with never-ending love. With never failing love, you are loved. And that's how we conquer. Who's going to clean up the mess of this world? Who's going to clean up the mess of your life, my life? You or him? It's the invitation to go back to the source and to know that you are loved. Speaking of this passage, Charles Spurgeon once wrote very poetically, he said, yes, love yielded them victory. They knew that he loved them, that he had loved them, that he would always love them. They knew that if they suffered for his sake, it was his love which let them suffer for their ultimate gain and for his permanent honor. They felt that he loved them. They could not doubt it. They never mistrusted that fact, and this is what that made them strong, so strong. Oh, beloved, are ye weak today? Go to him who loved you. Does your love grow cold today? Don't go to Moses to get improved. Don't search your own heart with a view of finding anything good there, but go at once to him who loved you. Think this morning of our Lord's leaving heaven, of his incarnation upon earth. Think especially of the bloody sweat of Gethsemane, the wounds of Calvary, the dying thirst, the my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of all that. Get Christ's love to you burnt into your inmost consciousness. And in the strength of this, fear no difficulties, dread no tribulations, but march to your life battle as the heroes of old went to theirs, and you shall return with you crowns of victory as they returned with theirs. And you shall find that verse which we now sang to be most divinely true. God's first and foremost commitment to you, like even today in this moment, is for you to experience his love. For, as Spurgeon said, for it to be burned into your soul. And yet so often we settle for guilt and we settle for shame or some form of conditional love. If I do this, if I accomplish that, if I make myself better, then somehow it'll be okay. This is what it means for you today to find excessive victory, to be more than a conqueror. That in the mess, in the middle, in this in-between time, before it gets sorted out, before it gets all swept together and cleaned out, to let God love you and to rest in the fact, as Paul says here, that nothing will ever separate you from his love. Now again, the promise here in Romans 8 is not that you won't ever die. The promise here is that death itself won't separate you from his love. The promise of Romans 8 is not that you won't struggle. The promise here is that that struggle won't separate you from his love. There's this invitation to surrender to love today, to stop running, to stop cleaning, to stop trying to somehow do it in your own strength and in your own way, and to let him love you. This is the image, actually, that Paul puts forth as a picture of conquering strength. It's not the gladiator who says, look at me, look what I've done, I've somehow overcome it all. It's actually the picture of the one who has surrendered to God and his love and is being found, held tenderly in his arms. That's the conqueror. That's the one who experiences excessive victory. That's the one who can walk through all the landmines of the day and say, but this I know, in all these things I can overcome because I know that I know it's burnt into my soul that he loves me. When my career is advancing, he loves me. When my career falls apart, he still loves me. When I have a date, he loves me. If I get married, he loves me. If I don't, if I'm single, if I'm alone, he loves me still. When I have a productive day, he loves me. When it ends up being another PJ day of flannel pajamas, he loves me still. When I accomplish things perfectly, he loves me. When I betray him, when I fail, when I make a mess, if I relapse, if I do that thing that I promised I would never do again, his love is still there for you, and it's beckoning you to stop and to turn around and to come back to his love. We conquer by being conquered in his love. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. One final note, one final thought, one final dimension here. We also conquer together. And as I end today, I just want to point out that this passage, this entire passage, it's written in the plural. This verse does not say, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. It's very easy for us, especially as Americans, to read it that way. That I'm a conqueror because he loved me. Actually, that's not what it says here. Now, that's true for you as an individual, but again, this passage is written to a community. It's a passage about conquerors, plural. It's about him who loved us. And while that may be obvious, that may not needed to be pointed out, I would venture to guess that most of us feel this instinct inside of us to be the lone ranger, to be the one who is the solo gladiator, to be the single solitary conqueror. But again, that vision is far from biblical. And if you try to live it that way, you're not going to get very far doing it on your own. We overcome, we conquer together. So we're a church. We're a community. We are the family of God. We are the body of Christ. We are the conquerors knit together by the precious, beautiful blood of Jesus. 1 John 4:13 talks about it this way. It says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." God is love. "And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us." Together, we are an army of beloveds. And this is what we need now more than ever, especially in the day that we live in, is this radical commitment to calling out the love of God over us, over you, over me, over one another. This world needs the army of the beloved to go into the world and to reveal and share and declare the one whose love never fades and never goes away. So this is how we live in these things as more than conquerors, not simply by smashing all of our obstacles to bits or by ignoring the difficulties and hoping that they go away, but rather by together, arm in arm, or I guess maybe with the social distancing 6 feet apart, spiritually arm in arm, calling out the love of God over you, over me, urging, speaking, revealing the way that God's love is being put on display. Because together, united as the community of those who are deeply loved, we get to experience his perfect love casting out fear. So a couple questions for you, maybe to talk about with those that are in the room with you today, maybe with your gospel community, with your family. Four questions. Question number one, what specific situation are you trying to get around rather than finding God's conquering work in? What are the in these things for you? Second question, what often gets in the way of you receiving God's unconditional love for you? Or to put it another way, what makes surrender to his love so hard? Is it shame? Is it guilt? Is it unworthiness? And then related to that, what are the things that help remind you of God's love? What are the people, places, and activities that help, again, restart the process of you experiencing God's love? What are those things? Name those things. Question number three, in what ways do you try to conquer all alone rather than in community with others? And then lastly, as a practice, turn to the other people who are near you today, in the room today, and speak into their life. How can you call out the love of God over them and to them today? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, King Jesus, the one who came and suffered and died, who rose again, And by the Holy Spirit, your love has been poured out on us. Lord Jesus, we thank you today that your love serves as the fuel for our victory, for our overcoming, for our conquering. Thank you, Jesus, that you have conquered Satan, sin, and death, that we may never experience separation from you. In all these things today, Lord, we need you. We cry out to you. We desperately desire to see, to know, to experience your presence. So, Father, may we experience the joy, the excessive joy of victory that is rooted in your love. Father, may you draw all those who hear my voice today, may you draw all of them deeper into your love. Lord, may you save, may you redeem, may you set free, may you move us forward together as an army of beloveds who may then pour out that love to those around us this week. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for all that you've done. And may we be open to catch the holy wind of your Spirit and what you're up to in us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.